Good morning. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Now notice it's Good Shepherd Sunday, not just Shepherd Sunday, because again, if I've been talking about all the masses this weekend, we know what shepherds are. You know, we all talk about shepherds. Well, again, a shepherd is one who takes care of the sheep, but then he eventually eats the sheep, right? So that image in itself isn't very comforting. Oh yeah, he's just fattening him up to eat me, you know? So again, we know, what did they have at the Passover? A lamb. The nice shepherd gave up the lamb for the, you know, to be eaten. But we're not talking about that type of shepherd. We're talking about a good shepherd. Now a good shepherd, as we hear in the second reading, is one who takes our sins upon the cross. It's one who is wounded and who dies for us, the sheep. That's what makes it a good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. It's one of the few churches with a good shepherd window. And if you look up at the window, here's the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. How different that is than just any other shepherd. Here's one who dies for the sheep instead of asking the sheep to die for the shepherd. Huh? And so this is the shepherd that we follow. And he promises all of us, he said today in the very last line of the gospel, which should be easy enough to remember, don't you dare look. What was the last line of the gospel? I have come that you might have life. And what kind of life? Abundantly. That means overflowing again and again. You can't contain it. It just overflows in your life, just overflows with life. But there are two things we need to do to experience abundant life that he wants to give us. And Peter in the first reading, Peter wrote the second reading, but he talks in the first reading, Acts the Apostles. You know, he goes up and he starts talking to the people. They are struck to the heart. And they look at Peter and says, what must we do? And Peter says, repent. Repent. Now again, you've heard me speak on repentance before. And some people automatically go, oh, that's not me. I don't have to repent. Because, you know, I go to confession and I'm a good person. So, oh yes, today we're talking to you. Those who don't think it, you're the one I'm coming after today. Because what's happening is we think of the word repent only in that, oh, I got to stop my sinning and go to confession. And, oh, yeah, I gossip. I have to go to confession. Or I had sex outside of marriage. Or I used artificial birth control. Or I missed mass. I need to go to confession. All those are part of it, of course. But Jesus was talking to the people. He was talking to the Pharisees also. And the Pharisees did not break any of the commandments, right? So as I've been saying, you can absolutely live every commandment. You could sit there and never break one commandment your whole life and still go to hell. Correct? Absolutely. Because it isn't about the commandments. Only Jesus, when he tells us to repent, he's telling us to stop living our way and start living his way. That we take our life and we put it under the control of the shepherd. Now, that means he's Lord. That means he's in charge. That means he's in control of every part of my life. Now, again, some people just naturally say, oh, yeah, he's in charge of every part of my life. Really? He's not in charge of every part of my life, and I've been working at this for 51 years. Every morning, this morning when I opened the Word of God, and I'm doing my morning time with the Lord, I am not going to share with you what he said. It's too personal. But I didn't like it at all. Let me give you a hint. He was like in my face, and he was saying, this, this, and this, I want you to change. And I'm like, I'm trying. You know, that's the reality. But the reality is that he wants all of us to stop living only doing it our way. That means we sit there and we say, Lord, it's going to be your way. And let's be practical about this. With your money, it's God's money, it's not yours. With your body was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And so when you and I, me being a diabetic, when we don't take care of our bodies and we just eat what we want and do all the things we want to do, we are the temple of the living God and we're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we don't treat our bodies as temples of the living God, we sit there and we treat our bodies like garbage. Is that what God wants? Then why do we do it? And most everybody here does it. Huh? We sit there and we give our time. Our time needs to be under the lordship of Jesus. That means the most time I give every day, I have quality time given to the Lord every day. My sexual life belongs to Almighty God. It's not mine. Everything of my life, my family, my time, my money, my sexuality, everything needs to be done under the lordship of Jesus. He has to be in control of everything. He's not the least bit least bit interested. Now, do you think if you put that over your head and you sneak like this, I won't hear? Who does she belong to? Someone? Hey, just raise your hand. She's looking for her parents. There you go. Good job. That was good job. Did you find somebody? You haven't found them yet? We have plenty of room up here if you need to. Robert, you can sit with Robert. He doesn't care. Okay, so. Why do I lose my space? Where was I? So we got to be under the lordship of Jesus every part of our life. So again, you might not sit there and think you break any commandments, but you might not be living for the Lord. And that's very real. You cannot break any of the commandments. You can be an atheist and not break a commandment, but not be living for the Lord. So the first question is, if you want to experience life abundantly, are you living for the Lord every part of your life? Is there any part of your life that's not under the lordship of Jesus? If so, he's not your shepherd. He can't shepherd you unless you give everything to him. A sheep is not his own or her own. A sheep belongs to the shepherd. First thing. And the way we find out whether we are not, we are under the lordship of the shepherd, is by doing the second thing that Jesus talks about. He talks about it a couple times. He says, my sheep know me, know my voice, recognize my voice. They will not listen to another. So what Jesus is calling us to do is we listen to him. We recognize his voice. And how's the number one way we need to listen to the Lord every day? Prayer, okay. But again, let's think about this. Let's be honest here. Those of us who pray every day, most of us will say our rosaries, we'll say our prayers, and doing all the talking, and we'll do this stuff, and Lord bless me, and bless my family, and make sure I get a job, and make sure I'm, and it usually got to do with us. But when we're praying, we need to be listening. And it's hard for most of us to listen. I know it's hard for me. That's why I, who am weak, every day, every morning, every night, the best way to listen to God is how? The Bible. Now again, you're different than the other masses. I get it. Now, the other masses, I said 80% of you are not paying any attention to me. I would lower that to 70% of you at this mass. I'll give you 10%. As often as I've talked about it, I'll bet you 70% of you still are not reading the Bible every day. I'll bet you. And those of you, if I'd ask you, why aren't you reading the Bible? Some of you would hit me with something stupid like, well, Father, that's not my spirituality. Like when I ask people to go and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which again, we have three spaces open. And when I ask you to do that, some of you have the audacity to look at your pastor and say, oh, that's not part of my spirituality. Well, sweetheart or son, it's time to change your spirituality and start listening to your pastor. Your life is not your own. You need to start changing the way you do things. And when the Lord calls you to come and spend time with him, whether it's in the Blessed Sacrament or whether it's in his word every day, you don't look at the God of the universe and say, oh, that's not my spirituality. It's not about you. So, those of you who have given me the excuses throughout 9 years you've been with me, all the reasons why you can't spend time reading the Bible every day. Well, Father, I'm very busy. I bet you read the paper every day. I'll bet you. You read the paper. Or, oh, I don't even get the paper, Father. Oh, because you go and look at your news on the internet. I'll bet you watch the news or listen to the news on the internet or read the news on the internet. I'll bet you still read your pagan novels and your la-la novels where you can get all that romance and that in there. Or you'll read your gossip magazines. You have time for the word of the world and the word of the devil. You don't have time every day of your life to listen to the shepherd, to read scripture every day because he asks you to? What is your excuse for all these years listening to the loudest mouthed priest you've ever met in your life who yells every week and you still continue not to read the scripture, you still continue not to give your hour to the Lord? You continue in doing your own will, not humbling yourself and not putting yourself under the good shepherd who calls you through his shepherd to be the best you can be, to listen to his voice. When is the excuses going to be done? And when will you finally repent and start doing as he asks you? You surrender completely. You repent. You listen to him daily. And when this happens, when you think you're giving up too much for the Lord, it's just too much of a discipline, it's too much to listen to God and to surrender to him every day, he promises you, if you do this, he is going to give you abundant life. You will be more alive than anything else, huh? Again, this weekend, I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And last weekend, that's why I wasn't here. Sorry, but you had Father Dennis, which I'm sure gave you a nice break. But anyway, I was there, and I was with Father Benedict Rochelle, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Patrick Madrid. All well-known speakers, huh? And then you have me. And so this one guy came up to me as I was signing books and says, "And who are you?" And I says, "I'm Father Larry Richards. And where are you from?" "Erie, Pennsylvania." "Well, I've heard of the other ones. I never heard of you." And I says, "Well, thank you very much. What do you say to that?" I never heard of you either, but no, I just sat there and says, "Oh, okay, thank you." And then when I got up and started speaking, he came up after me and he came and says, "Father, I didn't know your name, but, oh, I've heard you before." And I go, "Yeah, I think. I have one of those voices, huh?" But again, as I was talking to these people, Father Benedict, who's a great saint, spoke before me. And like these guys are kind of like just sitting there like, mm-hmm. And then I get up and I give my typical thing. And what, guys, I'm much stronger than I am here. I'm just like, "I'm sick and tired of it, da, da, da." And some of these guys are like woken up. And that's the point. That when you're confronted with the Word of God, you need to be jostled and you need to become alive. And this life that God wants to give you will be abundant, flowing over you. And so do you want abundant life? And if you want abundant life, that's what Christ wants to give you. But to get the abundance of life, the people are more alive when they're in your presence. When you're flowing over in life, what you must do is repent and listen. Start doing it God's way. Spend time with him in his word every day. Then you'll get life and have it abundantly. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? Finally, may you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let's now stand and let us profess our faith.